everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to this morning's service, which today is led for us by Catherine Camptor. We look, did I pronounce that right?
Yes
thank you. We look forward to hearing what she has to say to us. Just a couple of notices before we begin our worship in prayer. On Wednesday morning this week, the church carpets are being cleaned downstairs. So if anyone could come down at 8 o'clock on Tuesday to help clear away the chairs and the tables, it would be much appreciated.
Tuesday morning or afternoon?
Tuesday night, after Skylarks. The church council tomorrow is in the upper room. There's already a group in there till 7:30, so there'll be a short wait while we get it all set up. There's also a meeting in here, in the community hall, so parking may be a bit limited. First come, first served. Shall we start our worship with a moment of prayer? Let us pray. By the word of our Lord, the heavens were made. By the spirit of our Lord was life begun. By the wisdom of our Lord, his laws were laid. By the love of our Lord was born his Son. By the grace of our Lord, mankind was saved. By the power of our Lord, the victory was won. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our call to worship this morning. Praise God from earth, men and women in their prime, and yes, old men and women too, and all the little children. Let us praise the name of God. It's the only name worth praising. Praise from all who love God, Israel's children, intimate friends of God. Hallelujah. Let's worship God together as we join in our first hymn this morning from Singing the Faith, number 51, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
We're going to come to God in prayer now. And to start our prayers, we're going to use a psalm that's in the back of Singing the Faith. So if you're using the book, it's number 835 in Singing the Faith, number 835. But it is on the screen. And we're going to be using stanzas 1 to 5 and 12 to 20. So hopefully on the screen you can see that the top part is in like a lighter yellow and the bottom part is in bold. And so I'm going to read the parts in light yellow, and if you could respond in bold, that would be great. So let's pray together. And this is taken from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You mark out my journeys and my resting place and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but you, O Lord, know it altogether. You encompass me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, so high that I cannot attain it. For you yourself created my inmost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, my soul knows well. When my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my form as yet unfinished. Already in your book were all my members written. As day by day they were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How deep are your counsels to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I count them, they are more in number than the sand. And at the end, I am still in your presence. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and examine my thoughts. See if there is any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Continue with the prayer of adoration. Loving Lord, beyond all time, we praise and worship you. You are the one who came, who comes, and who is to come. You came to us in Jesus, revealing your love and compassion, your power, your truth, and your nature, which wholly and ceaselessly gives of yourself. You come to us in the presence of the Holy Spirit, leading us to Jesus, empowering us for service, and granting us precious gifts, producing delightful fruit. Keeping us in peace and being ever faithful to us. You will come to us at the end of the ages, at the full realization of your kingdom, when your work in us will be complete and when love will eternally reign. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you. Amen. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Lord, you said, come, and we walked away. You said, follow, and we chose our own way. You said, trust, and we turned our backs on you. You said, hope, and yet we were full of despair. You said, I am here, and we didn't want to know. You said, I love you, and you showed us your hands and your side, and we didn't know what to say. You reached out to hold us, to draw us into your love, and at last we were able to say thank you. You said, you are forgiven. You are accepted. And we wept with joy. You said, I am the Lord. And we knelt before you, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Thank you, Lord, that you did all of this for us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we can find our way back to you. Thank you that you're always with us. Whatever we're going through, you are here with us. And thank you that you are in the future too. Whatever we are facing or whatever we are walking into, we know that you are there ahead of us. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. Amen. And we'll now say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Okay. Now, when you came in this morning, you should have been given a stick of modelling clay. Has everybody got a stick? Hands up if you haven't got one. Do you know, I haven't got one, so I'm going to come and get one. I forgot to take one out of the packet. I don't know where they are. Are they... Who has the pack of clay? Where are they? Or are they still on the door? They're coming. Thank you. Thank you very much. So anyone without? Did you girls get them? Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't miss anyone out. Anyone else missing one? So you've all got some clay. Now I wonder, have we got any creations yet? Has anyone, hands up if you've got something to show us. Oh, my goodness. Tell us what you've got.
A heart.
A heart. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And what have we got on the front row? A swan. That looks like an onion ring. Was it meant to be something other than an onion ring? Yes. A circle. It's beautiful. Work in progress. So we've got a swan. That looks interesting. A bow. We've got a bow. Oh, my word. We've got a cross down there. I can see a cross. Anything at the back here?
A lowercase letter L.
A lowercase letter L. L for lovely.
Lips.
Some lips. Gosh, we're a creative lot here at Bamber Bridge. And oh my goodness, that might win the prize. A perfectly modelled cat. So you might be wondering, why have we got clay and why are we making things? Well, what I wanted to share with you this morning is, if you're a creative person, do you know where that creativity comes from? Where do you think it comes from? It comes from God. It does. Because God is the creator God. He created all of us and he created the whole of this amazing world that we live in. And our creativity comes from God. And we're made in his image. And I just wanted, particularly for the children, to know that when you're getting creative and messy and doing your painting and your building and your Play-Doh, you're doing what God does. You're making and you're creating. And that creativity comes from him. And later on in the service today, we're going to be thinking about a passage in the Old Testament with the prophet Jeremiah when he goes to see a potter. And in that story, God is the potter. He's being the creator and we are the clay. And we're going to be thinking about what kind of clay we are. Because when you started playing with your Play-Doh, did it work straight away? Was it? Did you manage to get that beautiful model out of it straight away, or did you have to? You had to give it a bit of a knead, didn't you? It's quite hard to start with. So we're going to be thinking about what messages the clay can give to us today. So we're going to be thinking about what kind of clay we are as individuals and also as a church. But I just wanted to encourage you to be creative and say that is in the image of God. So we're going to sing again. We're going to sing another song from Singing the Faith, number 611. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Let's sing together. At this point that the children go out to their groups, is that right? So I'll just do a quick prayer before you go. Father God, we thank you for children. Thank you that this church is blessed with children and families and young people. And I pray that as they go into their groups, they will learn more of you and experience your presence with them as they learn of your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our New Testament lesson this morning, we're going to be looking at the letter to Philemon. And when I came to reread the letter of Philemon this week, I had to look it up in the index. It's so small, it's only one page, and I kept flicking past it. I thought, I know it's at the back somewhere, but I couldn't quite find it. And it's actually the shortest of Paul's letters. And I'm going to just give you a little brief whistle-stop tour through the letter of Philemon. So Paul wrote the letter to a church leader in Colossae. And earlier on in the year, we were looking at Colossians, weren't we, in Bible month. We had a whole month looking at Colossians. And Philemon was actually one of the church leaders in Colossae. And Paul writes to him from prison. And Philemon was a church leader. It says at the beginning of the letter that he had a church that met in his own home. So it's like a house church, meeting in his house. And he was a very high standing in the community. He was a leader. And as such, he owned slaves, which to us seems quite alien. But in the Roman world, that was just how it was, that people who were senior and of high standing would have slaves. And Onesimus was one of Philemon's slaves. And from the background to the letter, we know that at some point, Onesimus and Philemon had had a disagreement, and Onesimus had run away. So he was a runaway slave. And at some point, he'd gone to visit Paul in prison. And we think that through meeting Paul, Onesimus becomes a Christian. He gives his life to Christ, and he becomes a changed man. And he becomes very dear to Paul. And Paul describes him in the letter as his son. And he actually describes him as my heart, that Philemon is his heart. So he becomes very close to him. And he describes Onesimus as his heart, not Philemon, sorry. And Paul writes this letter to Philemon, asking him to receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. He asks him to accept him as an equal. And when he sends the letter, he sends the slave with the letter. So Onesimus actually comes with the letter along with the person who's carrying the letter. And Onesimus in those days would have been viewed as Philemon's property. So he wasn't viewed as a human being, as a slave. You were property, something that could be bought and sold. And so Paul's asking Philemon to change his mind about Onesimus, that he's no longer a piece of property, but that he's a fellow human being and that he's an equal in Christ. So this is a big ask, and he's asking Philemon to completely change his attitude towards Onesimus and accept that Onesimus has completely changed and is now a brother in Christ. So this is a really, really big ask. Within the Roman world, this will be quite revolutionary. You would never, a runaway slave should go to prison. They shouldn't be received back as a brother. And what we're going to hear now is a monologue, the words of Philemon imagined, him responding to this ask from Paul. So let's hear how Philemon responds. Thank you.
I was puzzled when the letter arrived from Paul, and astounded when I knew who had brought it. I wasn't quite sure what to do first, read the letter or throw the runaway slave in jail. In the end, I decided I'd let myself calm down a bit by reading the letter first, and as long as someone was keeping an eye on Onesimus, I could always deal with him afterwards. Paul can certainly flatter people when he needs to, and the opening of his letter seemed to be going over the top a little towards me, but I carried on reading, mainly to see where this was leading. Inevitably, he began to talk about my slave, or former slave, it appeared. Paul had apparently listened to his story and understood his problems, and was now putting him forward as a reformed character because he had become a Christian. As his ex-owner, I began to wonder how this runaway had convinced Paul that he had changed. But then I read further, and saw how Onesimus had become very useful and helpful to Paul, and how Paul had begun to love him as a son. And he was asking me to take him back and treat him as a Christian brother. My immediate reaction was that it was fine for Paul to ask that, but he hadn't had the experience of losing a piece of his property or of having that piece of property running away from him. But then Paul laid my own faith on the line and challenged my ability to forgive, albeit with a little more flattery on his behalf. I was beaten, and Paul had won his argument again. How could I reject such a plea as this? Where was my Christian sense of forgiveness and justice if I couldn't accept that Onesimus really had changed when he had come to the same faith that I claimed for myself? It wasn't easy for me to accept, but I knew I must put my Christian principles on the line and changed my attitude and reactions. As for the question of treating a former slave as a brother, well, that's another lifestyle choice that will need seriously reviewing. But one thing I have discovered from this incident: being a Christian is a constant learning process, and after the learning, action needs to be taken.
Thank you, Leslie.
And we'll continue worshipping God as we take up our offertory for this morning. Father God, we thank you that you have blessed us with so much, and we bring these gifts as just a token of our thankfulness, Lord. The gifts given here and those given through the bank. Lord, take this money, use it and multiply it to further your kingdom, both here and throughout this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we move now to our Old Testament lesson, which I hinted at before, is from the book of Jeremiah. And it's at the point where God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house so that he can speak to him there. And we're going to hear that reading now, and it's going to be read to us by Sally. Thank you.
I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. At the potter's house. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Amen.
We're going to sing again as we reflect on that passage. From Singing the Faith, number 395, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And I suggest we stay seated while we sing this. Thank you. Any potters in the house? Anyone who's tried the hand at pottery? No? Oh yes, somebody owning up. You might be able to help me out, but you can tell me if I'm wrong when I get talking about potters and what potters do. Now earlier on in the year, I'm still a trainee preacher. I've not actually passed, so to speak. I'm kind of 90% through my training. I've just submitted my second portfolio and I've had my trial service and I'm just waiting to see whether my portfolio passes and whether the local preachers want me. But that's by the by. But earlier on in the year, as part of my training, I had the privilege of going to Cliff College and doing part of my course intensively with other trainee preachers from around the country. And one of the tasks that they gave us to do before we went to college was to have a go at making something and to reflect on the process of making something. And it was all to do with God being a creator God, and that God's creative, and for us to kind of put ourselves in that place of being creative. So I thought, I know, I'll get myself some air-drying clay from the range. So I went to the range, got my air-drying clay. And I thought, I'm going to make myself a beautiful cross, like one of those beautiful crosses that are painted with scenes from the Bible. There's a word for them. I'm thinking, Is it Salvadorian? Something like that. Have I got it written down here? Yes, it's a Salvadorian cross. That's what I had in mind. So I got my lump of clay and I had a go at making a Salvadorian cross. And do you want to see my Salvadorian cross? Are you ready? Here it is. That piece of clay did not want to be a cross. It was far too hard. It was far too thick. It was far too everything. It was not, never going to become a cross. Not in my hands anyway. So I thought, okay, I'll have a go at making a plate, like a kind of shallow dish. So I had a go at making a shallow dish, and it didn't want to be a shallow dish either. It just didn't want to be that. So I thought, all right, I give in. I'll make it into a kind of chalice. So that's what I ended up with, and I stuck some beads on it to make it extra special. But that was a piece of clay that did not want to be a cross, and it did not want to be a plate. It wanted to be, well, it ended up being a chalice. So I just pop that on there. So the clay, I've lost my glasses now, I need them. So that piece of clay that I had, it was too hard and too stubborn and too cold to be a cross. So what I did was I squished it and I warmed it and I tried again to make this beautiful shallow bowl, but it was too thick and it didn't lend itself to be a bowl. So I moulded it and I worked it and I warmed it and I fingered it and I pulled it and I kneaded it. And it became a chalice. And it was hard work. And it took persistence and perseverance. And it took patience. And my hands were absolutely covered in clay, like a bit like the picture of the person's hands on the screen. It was dirty work. And the pot that I'd fashioned in the end was covered in the maker's fingerprints. Now, earlier on in the summer, my girls were off school, and we were watching lots of a channel called CBBC, which most of you will not watch. It's the BBC channel for kind of junior-age children, early secondary-age kids. And on this programme, there was a group of, I think they were year sevens from a high school, and they were having a go with a potter's wheel for the first time. And the teacher was giving them advice about what you need to do to be a good potter. And he was saying that you need a still, steady hand and that any sudden movements would ruin the pot. Is that right from our potter at the back? Any sudden movements, it would be ruined. And God's hand is on us, still, steady, considered and consistent. No sudden movements. And in order for the clay to conform to the potter's plan, the clay needs to be warmed. It can't be cold. Warmed by the hand of God. The warmth of God's touch, and that softens us. But also in the pottery lesson, they learnt the importance of water. The clay needs to be wet. For us, the water of the Holy Spirit enables us to yield and to bend and to stretch to God's hand and to lean into God's ways. And so God told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house so that God could speak to him. And God spoke to him through what he saw. And it was a bit like a parable, really. It was like the parable of the potter with the clay and the wheel. And in my local preacher training, this idea about going and learning and looking for God speaking through everyday things is called theological reflection. That's the posh word that they give it. And we're encouraged to hear God speak to us through everyday scenarios. And it's something that I'd really encourage you to do, to look out for God speaking to you through things that happen in the everyday. Now, the time of Jeremiah was a dark time in the history of the Jewish people. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he did have a lot to weep about, because the people were in rebellion against God and they were worshipping idols. And Jeremiah here was prophesying them to warn them as to what the future might hold, but also to say that if they changed their ways, there would be a second chance. It wasn't too late to repent and to lean into the purposes of God. But if the clay, God's people, did not cooperate and obey him, then things wouldn't go well. His plan to bless them would be thwarted. But if they turned to him again and yielded to his purposes, then he would work with them again and make them into something beautiful. If the people turned back to him, God would change his mind concerning them. When we think of the phrase changing our mind or changing your mind, sometimes we think that's quite a fickle thing, like someone who can't make up their mind if they change their mind. But with God, it's not fickle at all. It's really relenting. If the people repent, then God will relent and work with them again to bring blessing. God is a consistent God, isn't he? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's consistent and unchanging in the way that he deals with his people. And he's quick to respond to a changing heart. So Jeremiah is calling the people to change their ways. I wonder, how stubborn are you? Stubbornness runs deep in my family. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. My mum was actually a very, very stubborn person. And my brother was probably equally stubborn. In my own family now, I can see stubbornness in all of us to various degrees. One of my daughters in particular is very, very stubborn. And if I look at myself, if I look hard enough at myself, I'm stubborn too. I might hide it, but deep down, I can be really stubborn. And I wonder how you feel when somebody asks you to change your mind about something. Do you dig your heels in? Do you hear them out? Or are you already preparing your counter-argument so that you can have the last say and you're not really listening to what they're saying, but making sure that you get in the last word? Looking at our New Testament reading, Philemon was being asked to change his mind about Onesimus. He was asking to believe that he had changed and was now a co-heir with Christ. He was being asked to change his mind about Onesimus' status, to receive him not as a piece of property, but as a dearly beloved brother in the Lord. It was an enormous ask. But Paul was very, very persuasive. Paul uses the term partner or koinonia, which is a word that is used to mean equal partners in Christ. He was saying, if you see me as an equal partner with you, then receive Onesimus just as you would receive me, an equal partner of equal status. The ground before the cross is level. We are all the same before God. He was elevating Onesimus from a possession to a member of Philemon's family. An enormous ask. And I wonder how you respond when somebody asks you to change your mind about something, to see something differently, to look at it from the other person's point of view, or to accept that your way or our way is not the only way. Do you delight in being right? Do you delight in having your own way? But what if God asks you to change your mind about something, to think again? I wonder what kind of clay you are, what kind of clay I am. Are we cold, hard, stubborn, immovable? Do we have some dry bits, some flaky bits, some bits that need sloughing off and getting rid of? And as a church, I wonder what kind of clay you are, Bamber Bridge Methodist Church. As a church, what kind of clay are you? Are you warm and pliable, watered by the Holy Spirit, and open to where God wants to mould you? Or have you got some dry, flaky and cracked bits? Bits that need sloughing off? This is a new season, isn't it, for you as a church? You've got a new minister. It's a new time for you, with Karen just settling in. And she comes with different gifts, maybe a new vision for the church. And it's a chance to look at the church again through fresh eyes and with open ears. It's never too late to start again, to allow God's loving presence to warm you, his Holy Spirit to fill and refresh you, and for you to yield once more to the potter's hand. God's hand is upon you. You have a choice. You can choose to be passive and not particularly cooperate with God and just let things carry on. Or you can choose today to lean into God's purposes, to choose to be shaped by him. For he surely has the best plans for you as individuals and as a church. So this day, let us choose what kind of clay we are going to be. And let us choose to lean in to what God has for us. Amen. We're going to pray again. The potter and the clay. Lord, you are the potter. I am the clay, formless and shapeless. Yet in your creative hands, full of potential to be shaped and moulded into a vessel, filled to overflowing with your love, pouring out to others. But Lord, so many times I refuse to let you work. I slip through your fingers, not wanting to be changed, preferring to stay as I am, though I know your design for me is infinitely more wonderful, more beautiful. I become dry and unworkable, needing the gentle sprinkling of your Spirit to revive me so that we can start again. Lord, you are a patient craftsman. Thank you for that. That even when I try to escape your touch and threaten to topple and fall, your hands are there to hold me firm and build me up again. Lord, hold me. Shape me. Mold me to your design. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then as a song of response, we're going to sing from Songs of Fellowship, number 311. Jesus, you are changing me. And if you want to remain seated for this as well. Number 3-1. We come to our prayers of intercession. Let's come before God in prayer. Father God, we thank you that we are part of your worldwide church. We thank you that your Spirit is living and active all over the world, bringing good news, bringing healing, bringing revival. And today, Lord, we are asked particularly to pray for the churches in Southern Africa. We pray for Botswana, for Lesotho, for Mozambique, Namibia, and South Africa. Lord, we thank you for the churches in those nations. We pray that you will continue to breathe new life into your church. Lord, that your good news may spread throughout these nations. And Lord, we remember the synod taking place this week in the Amazonian areas in South America. We pray for the leaders of the Catholic Church there, that they will speak with courage, that they will speak with boldness, that they will speak up for your earth. And Lord, we pray for our own nation. We pray for our government in such disarray. We pray, Lord, for wisdom for our leaders and for those who advise them. Lord, that you will make a way through all of this. We pray for justice. We pray for righteousness. We pray for peace. We pray that our leaders will not be self-seeking, but seek the common good. We thank you, Lord, that you are already there in the future, that beyond the 31st of October, you know, and you are already there. Thank you that we can take assurance from that you are with us. Lord, we bring to you those named in our prayer book. We pray for Betty Doolin, for Joyce Elland, for Nicola, Kevin and Ellen Savage's daughter, and for Nadine Sumner. We lift them to you. You know their needs, O Lord. We pray that you will minister to them and they will know your presence with them. We pray for our church here. We thank you for Reverend Karen Lamouton and her ministry here. We thank you for this new beginning for the church. We pray for your guidance, Lord, that we may be open to you and to where you want to lead us. We pray for Nikki Gleason, and we thank you for 3Generate and all the preparations that are going on at the moment. We thank you for the group that are going from this church and this circuit. We pray that that will be a really special experience for those children and young people, that they will encounter you and that they will realize that they are part of something much bigger, and that their voice counts and that they can be heard in the church. Pour out your spirit upon that gathering, Lord. And we pray for ourselves. Faithful God, when you call, may we respond. When we falter, be our guide. When you speak, may we hear. When we question, be our answer. And when you ask, may we answer. When we hesitate, be our resolve. When you show, may we see. And when we disregard, be our conscience. When you lead, may we follow. And when we stray, be our shepherd. When you send, may we go. And when we fear, be our courage. When you challenge, may we listen. And when we fail, be our rock. When you give, may we receive. And may we love just as you first loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And we'll bring our act of worship to a close by singing number 546 in Singing the Faith, Behold the Servant of the Lord. And there's just one line in here where it talks about the passive clay later on in one of the later verses. And I just want to say that as clay, we're not passive, we're active participants with God. And God needs us to work with him and cooperate with him. So let's sing this and praise God together. Number 546, Behold the Servant of the Lord. Some words of blessing. Power of God, be our protection. Wisdom of God, be our guide. Word of God, be our inspiration. Shield of God, be our defense. Son of God, be our salvation. And Spirit of God, be our peace. Now and forever. Amen.